On Tuesday's front page, Mitt Romney went on the offensive in a televised debate from Florida. It was heated and it was personal. Romney attacked Newt Gingrich as a disgraced politician who became a Washington influence peddler. Gingrich said Romney is desperate and his attacks were inaccurate. The Supreme Court said the police can't put a GPS tracking device on a suspect's car. And here in New York, a police training film that took a dark view of Muslims. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Mitt Romney used a televised debate to tear into Newt Gingrich's time as House Speaker. Romney's trying to slow Gingrich's momentum in the fight for the Republican nomination. Romney said that after 4 years as House Speaker, Gingrich, quote, resigned in disgrace. He said Gingrich became, quote, an influence peddler in Washington, advising companies like the mortgage giant Freddie Mac. The debate was notable for the lack of time devoted to President Obama. It sometimes seemed as if Romney and Gingrich had traded personalities. It was clear from the beginning that the tables had turned as Romney tried to provoke Gingrich. They even tussled over what would happen to Fidel Castro after he died. Romney ended an answer by saying Castro would return to his maker. Gingrich said he's going to the other place. Gingrich also said he'd do everything possible, including sending in a covert operation, to end the Castro dictatorship in Cuba. Romney had been on the attack all day. His campaign released its first negative ad in Florida, accusing Gingrich of cashing in on the housing crisis. Romney went on the offensive after weeks in a defensive crouch over his own career in private equity and his reluctance to release his tax returns. He's now scheduled to do that on Tuesday. The Supreme Court barred the police from installing GPS tracking devices to keep tabs on a suspect without first getting a judge's approval. The majority in the 5-4 decision said the problem was placing the device on private property. Justice Antonin Scalia said that when the government installs a GPS device and uses it to monitor somebody's driving, that constitutes a search, and that means there has to be a warrant. Times reporter Adam Liptak says the other justices appear ready to apply Fourth Amendment privacy principles to things like video surveillance and online merchants' customer records. Metro columnist Michael Powell says the NYPD showed a training film paid for by conservative backers not a few times, as it said last year, but on a continuous loop for between 3 months and a year. The film shows Muslim terrorists shooting Christians in the head. It also has a doctored image with an Islamic flag flying over the White House. News that police trainers aired the film comes as the NYPD is wrestling with its relationship with the city's Muslim community. The NYPD offers no apology for infiltrating Muslim groups. Rights advocates and Muslim leaders say it's trampled on their civil rights. Adoptees are turning to DNA testing companies to piece together the puzzle of their real identity. The testing companies can plug DNA results into databases with thousands of genetic samples. Most adoptees want information that'll lead to their birth parents, but some want to figure out whether they're genetically predisposed to developing diabetes or cancer. Tuesday's Times has details on the latest criminal case in the Obama administration's effort to punish leakers. The charges involve an ex-CIA officer who helped track down and capture terrorism suspect Abu Zubaydah. John Kiriakou is accused of giving journalists classified information about another CIA officer who took part in interrogating Zubaydah in 2002. Zubaydah, a suspected al-Qaeda financier, was waterboarded 83 times. Kiriakou denied leaking the names of covert CIA officers, but the Justice Department says he was a source for a front-page Times article in 2008. Inside Tuesday's Times, Egypt's new parliament held its opening session. The Muslim Brotherhood got a lesson in the challenges of democracy. Its choice for speaker faced opposition. That led to a shouting match in the chamber. In the end, Muslim Brotherhood stalwart Saad al-Qahtani won by more than 300 votes. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick tells us that before the vote, there were big crowds in the streets outside.
As the members of parliament started arriving as early as 8 or 9 o'clock, the crowds were here throwing flowers at them, cheering for them, some weeping, celebrating the seating of the first democratically elected parliament in more than 60 years. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is Egypt's most powerful political force, called its supporters out both to celebrate and to make sure that the scene was safe. A few blocks away, more liberal supporters stitched together a long row of Egyptian flags. On each one is written a demand that they hope the new parliament will fulfill.
Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick in Cairo. The nation's five largest mortgage lenders have agreed to an overhaul to stop deceptive foreclosure practices. Some 750,000 people will get checks for about $1,800 apiece. People who lost their homes through foreclosure probably won't get them back, but roughly 1 million homeowners could see their mortgages reduced. The proposed settlement could also make it easier for people to restructure their loans. Tuesday's Business Day section says Europe is considering forcing internet companies to get consent from consumers about the use of their personal data. The companies could be required to delete that data forever at the consumer's request. They could also face fines for failing to comply. The European Commission's proposed data protection regulation could have consequences for everything from Amazon.com to Facebook. The European Union agreed to ban oil imports from Iran. That's a significant escalation in the face-off over Iran's nuclear program. Oil prices climbed toward $100 a barrel as Iran repeated its threat to block shipments of crude from the Persian Gulf. The European ban will be phased in but won't stop shipments to Asia, which buys far more oil from Iran than Europe does. China, Japan, and India accounted for more than half of Iran's exports in 2010. Iran's top European customer was Italy, which bought 10%. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.